John's Gospel in chapter 6. And we'll start reading at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up onto the mountain. Thanks, brother. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain himself alone. And that'll suffice for the reading just now, and we'll read further on as time permits, and into the next service as well, of course. The chapter, there are 3 things in this chapter, verses 1 to 14, what we read, the feeding of the 5,000. That was, there were 5,000 men, one of the other Gospels says, 5,000 men besides women and children, so there could have been 10 or 12,000 people here altogether. And then 15 to 21, the next little section, is the calming of the storm on the lake. And then verses 22 to 71 is the day following, and verse 59 says, concerning the third item here, "These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." So there are 3 things in the chapter: the feeding of the 5,000, the calming of the storm, and this marvelous message that he preached in the synagogue in Capernaum. So first of all then, the feeding of the 5,000. We see how the Lord had been teaching, and his popularity was great at this time. And these people, 5,000 men and women and children as well, they followed the Lord into the desert because they were so taken with his miracles and with his teaching that they wanted to hear more and more. And so they came to Christ. One thing that I was thinking about in this incident is the expression, the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, is able to meet every circumstance of life. There's nothing too great for him. And here we see how he's so sufficient to deal with this situation that he sees all these thousands of people coming towards him. They're in a desert. He has nothing. The disciples have got nothing. And so the Lord asks the question to Philip. He says, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" That was a question that they asked Philip. Now, why did the Lord ask Philip? Well, the text goes on to say in verse 6, "But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." See, the Lord was totally in control of every situation that he was in. He was perfect in every situation. Nothing could take him by surprise. But he wanted to test Philip, one of the 12 disciples, just to see how much he had grown in the things of the Lord concerning the person of Christ. "Where shall we buy bread, Philip?" This he said to test him, because he himself knew what he would do. The Lord knew what he was going to do, and he just gave Philip a little test. And you know, I could apply that to my life, and you could apply that to your life too. We get ourselves into circumstances. How are we going to act? What's the answer? Well, it's good to know, beloved, that no matter what circumstances you get yourself into, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And not only does the Lord know, but the Lord knows how he's going to act in relation to the circumstance that you may be in. But he brings us into these circumstances, just like Philip, to test him. To test him. And the Lord tests us on our way, just like we're in school and we're going to get a test, just to see if we've learned the lessons. To see if we've learned the lessons. And it's how we react to the circumstances that we're in. You know, I was sharing something this morning that I've been enjoying very much. That you can tell a person more by their reaction than you can to their action. What I mean by that, if a person does something, that's an action. But when a person does something because of something that something else has happened to them, that's a reaction. And the Lord Jesus was tested in both. And the great thing about him was that his reactions to circumstances were always perfect. Were always perfect. And I can't say that about... I'm okay. I'm okay with my actions. But I need a lot of work on my reactions. And I get a smile or a chuckle or two on that. That's where our weakness shows up so badly. How we react to situations. And so it's something I'm working on, and we're all just a work in process. We're only sinners saved by grace, and the Lord will be working with us until the end of the journey. So Philip here was tested, but Jesus knew what he would do. But then we move on to Andrew. Andrew, one of his disciples, said, "There's a lad here. There's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." Now, if he had stopped there, that wouldn't have been too bad. But he went on and said, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Very, very small. Have you noticed that it says that there were 5 barley loaves? That was the cheapest bread you could get. And 2 small fish. And the need was so great. But that's all the resources that Andrew could come up with. But remember what we said earlier about the all-sufficiency of Christ. It can meet every need. And I'm sure that came from a lad, just a boy. His mother maybe packed a lunch for him that day, 5 little loaves and 2 fish, and he went out and he followed the crowd. I wonder what he told his mother when he went back home. "Mother, that little lunch that I had, the prophet from Galilee was there and he fed 12,000 people with it." Eh? "Oh, yes, son, okay, that's fine." But he did. He did. And you know, I've been blessed by this. And I want you to be blessed by it too. That no matter how small your resources are, no matter how small your gift is, be like the lad here. Give it to Christ, and he can multiply it in his hands and use it as a blessing. You know, just a wee bit of a diversion. There are 3 things that's mentioned in the scriptures. Remember the story of Naaman in the Old Testament. There was a little captive maid who was taken from Israel, brought to Syria, and she was in the house of Naaman, who was a leper. And that little maid spoke. And she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would cure him from his leprosy." Eh? What she did, she told what she knew. She told what she knew. And that's all we're asked to do. Just like the blind man in John's Gospel, chapter 9. "One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see." Just share the word of testimony, what Christ has done for you. She knew. She told what she knew. "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, because he would recover him from his leprosy." Come to John 6. "There is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." What did he do? He gave what he had. The little girl in 2 Kings 5 told what she knew. The little lad here in John 6, he gave what he had, and it was used for the glory of God, for the blessing of people, and the record is still with us to this very day. There's a third person in Mark 14 about a lady who took a box of ointment, and she broke the box and poured the ointment on the head of Christ. People criticized her for that, and I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you do something for Christ, be prepared to be criticized for it. Be prepared for that. She was criticized, but the Lord said, leave her alone. She has done what she could. She has done what she could. And you put those three things together. The little girl told what she knew. The little lad gave what he had. And the woman in Mark 14, she did what she could. You can't do any more than that. That's all you can do. That's all you're asked to do. Do what you can in the service of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know in the story here how it goes on. And the Lord takes the five loaves and the two fish. And he looks up to heaven. And he gives thanks. And he starts to break the loaves. And he broke the loaves and gave to his disciples and kept breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking till 10,000 people are fed and satisfied. And verse 13, therefore they gathered up the fragments, 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full. You see, when I read the scriptures, I find this, that when the Lord is in something, when the Lord is a part of some work, there's never any lack. There's never any lack when the Lord's in it. We don't have to go begging and pleading for money. In the Lord's work, the Lord always provides and multiplies. You think of when they built the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 36. The people brought a free will offering. It was a free will offering that they brought. And in Exodus chapter 36, the Lord tells Moses, command the people to stop bringing. Because what they have is too much. Too much. I like that. You know, that's how it is, folks, in the things of the Lord. There's always that which is left after the need has been met. That's a good way to test a work. Make sure that if you're involved in the work of the Lord, don't become a beggar. Wait on the Lord. He knows the need, just like the Lord knew here. Jesus himself knew what he would do. And so, the needs were met. And the people went on their way. And the Lord Jesus was glorified. And we read this, that after the work was done, verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come to take him by force to make him a king, they were going to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. He wouldn't allow the people to take him and make him a king. I wonder why. I wonder why. We always think that the Lord came and he was rejected and so on, and he was rejected. But that was the path that was marked out for him. The people here, in a flurry of excitement, that their needs were met in a physical way. He was meeting their physical need by providing bread. They were going to take him. This is the man we want. This is the man who can meet our physical needs. Let's make him a king, and we'll get victory over Rome, and we'll have a kingdom that's set up. When the Lord perceived that that was what was in their mind, they were going to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. So that's the first story in our chapter this morning. The second part is the storm on the lake. The storm on the lake. And we get that from 15 to 21. And let's read that. 15 to 21. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain himself alone. Jesus goes up the mountain. But the disciples, verse 16, now when evening was come, his disciples went down to the sea. Jesus goes up the mountain, his disciples go down to the sea, and they got into a boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going, the storm on the lake. Jesus has gone up to the mountain. The disciples get into the boat and they're going to cross to the other side of the lake. And the stories, we all know the story from the days of a Sunday school. They were in the storm. They were in the storm. Jesus was praying on the mountain. And I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. There's a storm in your life. There's a storm in your life. But remember this. Jesus knows all about it. Jesus is praying on the mountain here. And for us today, while we're going through trials and difficulties of many kinds of difficulties come into our life, we have a great high priest in the presence of his heavenly Father, and he's praying for us. He's praying for us. Robert Murray McShane, who was a great preacher in Scotland, he died when he was 29. He said, Jesus is praying for us in heaven. He said, if he was in the next room, if he was in the next room praying, and you could hear him praying, my, how that would affect you. And then he applied, it's just as real, it's just as real that he's living, he's alive in the presence of his Father. And for the circumstances of life that you're in, the Lord Jesus is praying for you. Wonderful, wonderful thing. So here it is then. Here's the application that there is on the mountain praying. And they're in the storm. They're in the storm. There are 4 things that happen in this storm. The first thing is this. It says that he saw them. He saw them. Through the dark, remember what we said? The all-sufficiency of Christ. The all-sufficiency of Christ. It can meet any need. It's a dark night. It's the fourth watch of the night. And it says that he was on the mountain and he saw them. He saw them. Toiling and rowing. When you're in the difficulty, when I'm in the difficulty, remember this, Jesus is watching us. He can see us. He sees us in the circumstances that we're in. He's watching. He saw them toiling and rowing. They were at the oars, they weren't making great progress, they had been there for hours and they had gone for 3 or 4 miles. The going was difficult for them. It was very, very difficult. But he saw them. He saw them. And not only that, he came to them. He saw them and then he came to them. And that's what he does for us. He's not only a Savior at a distance, but he comes to us in the difficulty. How did he come? He came walking on the water toward them. He came to meet them in the difficulty. Remember the word of the prophet? When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. He came to them. And number three, he talked to them. He talked to them. What did he say? He said, "Be not afraid, it is I." Or, "It is I, be not afraid." And what a wonderful thing it is to know the presence of the Lord with you in the trials of life. "I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you." He talked to them, and he assured them who he was. "It is I, the all-sufficient one." The one who fed the 10,000 people with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. You're in the storm now, the same day. "It is I. It is I. I'm all sufficient not only for to provide the bread, but I'm also sufficient to meet the storm as well." And then the fourth thing it says in John 6 and 21, and with this we'll close on this point. I love this. Listen to this. "Then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going." Think of them, toiling and rowing and so on. But when Christ comes into the boat, the sea's calm, and it's now a power boat. It's because he's there. He's there. And immediately, the ship was at the land whither they were going. With Christ in the vessel, we'll smile at the storm. Yeah? Did you sing that one in the Sunday school? Yeah? We did. Anybody know that one? One or two? Aye. Okay. With Christ in the vessel, we'll smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we will smile at the storm as we go sailing home. There you are. There you are. He can do anything. He's still the same. Here I am, 81, and I'm singing. I had the flu last week. But Christ is all sufficient. I was hoping, well, if I go there this morning, if I can get by with one message, that'll be fine. I'll just do that. Okay, the Lord's in charge. The Lord knows what he's doing. He himself knew what he would do. And so, beloved, keep close to Christ. Keep reading his word. Keep in prayer. Get your confidence up in him. He's on our side. We're on his side. And may the Lord bless his word to us thus far. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time together. Bless the word to us now and help us as we fellowship together. We've enjoyed being here today, and it's great to be among the Lord's people. And so, Father, bless the word now as we give thanks. In the Savior's name, amen.